everybody's talking at me.
CRN Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here, Jeremy Dayton at the network. We're live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. Let's see, checking today's guest list, Robin Viston with her latest, and believe it or not, Trump rallies are going on. David Rubin, former mayor of Shiloh, Israel, we're going to get the latest update on that election over there. And then, in the second hour, Selwyn Duke. Let me see if I can scrum up. He keeps bringing in new ones here. Let me see. Ex-judge election system simied because the whole court system is intimidated by the left. All right. So hang in there. Well, in the news, President Donald Trump demanded yesterday that Congress amend the coronavirus rescue package and government funding bill before sending it to his desk. The massive 5,593-page bill was passed by both the House and the Senate Monday night, but immediately drew criticism for only sending $600 of direct aid to each American. Trump criticized the bill for extending direct coronavirus relief payments to family members of illegal aliens, getting up to $1,800 each. This is far more than Americans are given, Trump said. President did not say he would veto the bill, but demanded that Congress amend it before sending it to his desk. Quote, I'm asking Congress to amend this bill and increase the ridiculously low $600 to $2,000, or $4,000 for a couple, he said. President also lamented that the bill also failed to provide substantial aid to restaurants and small businesses. Trump berated members of Congress for failing to even read the massive bill before passing it quickly in the last hours before the Christmas holiday. Quote, it's called the COVID relief bill, but it has nothing to do with COVID, he said. He criticized the billions of appropriation for aids to countries like Cambodia, Burma, Egypt, countries in Central America, and even $25 million for democracy and gender programs in Pakistan. President also ridiculed the bill for including $40 million for the Kennedy Center, $1 billion for the Smithsonian, and $154 for the National Gallery of Art. Actually, I'm sure that's $154 million. Yes, thank you. $154 million. BS. What? Congress found plenty of money for foreign countries and lobbyists and special interests while sending the bare minimum to the American people who need it, Trump said. And he demanded that Congress send a better coronavirus aid package, suggesting that he might not sign it. And the final quote here, I'm also asking Congress to immediately get rid of the wasteful and unnecessary items from this legislation and to send me a suitable bill, or our next administration will have to deliver a COVID relief package, and maybe that administration will be me, and we'll get it done. Well, that probably upset him a little bit, right? Yes, all right. Ah, boy. You know, you're paying attention at all, whenever Biden kept, you know, supposedly out there on the stump trying to get elected, and he brought up, I guess I heard it about at least four times where he mentioned it, and sort of became like, here it is again. And what it was the two words, dark winter. And Biden said it a few times before election, like, we're going to have a dark winter. It'll be the beginning of the dark winter. And one time he even talked about, yeah, we got prepared for the dark winter. We even had exercises on it. Well, I did a little research and posted on the foreignpolicy.com. On June 22, 2001, a group of well-known U.S. officials and a handful of senior policymakers gathered at Andrews Air Force Base in Maryland for a senior-level exercise that stimulated a biological weapons attack, an outbreak of deadly smallpox on the United States. Designed by the Johns Hopkins Center for Civilian Biodefense Strategies, now called the Center for Health Security, and the Washington-based Center for Strategic and International Studies, CSIS, the day-and-a-half-long Dark Winter's simulation was conducted to gauge how senior leaders would respond to such an attack and include such high-level participants as Senator Sam Nunn. He played the part of the president. And former White House advisor David Gergen, the national security advisor, that's what he played. And the retired career diplomat Frank Wisner played Secretary of State. But Dark Winter has since become legendary in senior policy-making circles in Washington for a different reason. It has regularly been cited by its designers and participants as the clearest exhibit of the spiraling stress and potential social collapse that could be sparked by a public health crisis. Dark Winter, which stipulates a smallpox attack by an unknown assailant, is not COVID-19, a disease inadvertently spread by human contact, of course, but the fallout from the coronavirus pandemic bears an eerie resemblance to the simulation. Leaders hampered by an inability to address a crisis they hadn't foreseen. Quote, "We'd have been much more comfortable with a terrorist bombing," Nunn later said in the congressional testimony. "National decision-making driven by data and expertise from the medical and public health sectors, management options limited by swift and unpredictable spread of the disease, and a limited stockpile of vaccines, a health care system that lacks the surge capacity to deal with mass casualties. Increased tensions between state and federal authorities, rapid spread of misinformation on cures and treatments for the outbreak. And the only way to treat smallpox is not to get it. The difficulty of controlling unpredicted flights of civilians from infected areas, domestic turmoil sparked by political uncertainty with sporadic rioting quelled by National Guard units in large urban areas as grocery stores are shuttered, an increasing reliance on the willingness and unwillingness of the individual citizen to self-quarantine to stop the spread of the contagion. Sound familiar? I'm telling you, this is unbelievable. This whole report here on Dark Winter, foreignpolicy.com. And the lessons drawn from the 2001 Dark Winter exercise did provide a stark preview of what the United States would face in 2020. Unfamiliarity of governing officials, public health issues, medical options available to address them, a likely lack of good information. Wow. Goes on and on and on. And this thing is like, probably 6 pages, right? All right. One other little note here in just a moment, but then we're going to play our song for the last time this year, wishing you a special Merry Christmas. According to Politico, Tartar Parsi is now Joe Biden's pick to oversee the Middle Eastern policy on the National Security Council in the Biden administration. And this means the apparently Supreme Leader Khamenei, commander of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, Soleimani, both declined the position because this would be, according to Charles Sam Fadias, great writer, this would be the only two possible candidates who would have been worse choices. Wow. All right. I'll tell you what we're going to do right now. We're going to play a song recorded by the ACLU, American Christian Life United, and we're going to wish you, for the last time before Christmas, a very Merry Christmas. J.D.
If you... Simply turn and say, it's very nice to meet you.
let's see if not for Christ's nativity, no silent night or first Noels, no Santa's sleigh or jingle bells, no star atop the Christmas tree, no special day for family, no bells that ring for angels' wings, no dolls and trains as Santa brings, no drummer boys or Tiny Tim, no Mr. Scrooge, we all know him, no list of who's been good or bad, well, maybe that won't be too sad. No candy canes or mistletoe, no Christmas lights out in the snow, no stockings hung with so much care, hoping Santa finds them there. And one more thing there wouldn't be, no partridge in a pear, rub-a-bum-bum. If you don't see Merry Christmas in the window, no.
Standing, and thank you for making your last performance this year on this program, that's for sure, yes. Hey, and by the way, well, Christmas coming up, right? This announcer gets to take 2 days off. So let me see now. Tomorrow, it'll be William Hazelgrove and Frosty Woolridge. William Hazelgrove, I've had him on a few times because he's such a great writer. And we discussed his last book that he wrote, and it is entitled Sally Rann, American Sex Symbol. In fact, it's only been out on the market a couple of weeks now. And some of the books he had done, I mean, just unbelievable. Madam President, you know, that the Secretary President of Edith Wilson. She actually forged being the president, sat right outside his office out there, and it was just unbelievable. So anyway, Frosty and William Hazelgrove, and then, let me see here, Friday, Christmas, you're going to have Bill Federer and the History of Christmas. And then we searched and we searched and we searched and said, who is a really good person that comes out with a lot of good stuff? And lo and behold, Kelly Nelson. So, great, great programming. We're going to be right back, and Robin Liston is going to be here. Don't go away.
An important COVID-19 school system update for your local area. If you're concerned about your child's education, please pay close attention to this message. The current school systems were not set up for at-home learning. If you're worried that your child may not be getting the grades they need to get ahead, may be losing self-confidence, or you're worried about them getting into a good college because of their grades, help is available to you. Call Grade Potential Tutoring. They can help with in-home or online tutoring and help your child with any subject and every grade level, even for test prep. They're experts in the home tutoring and online tutoring field and confident they can help you and your child get better grades today. Call now for your free consultation. 800-489-6575. 800-489-6575. 800-489-6575. That's 800-489-6575.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy. Some uncle I never knew called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars. And they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called The Tax Doctor. And The Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less. 800-391-8713. 800-391-8713. That's 800-391-8713.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, is to call SmartFares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and SmartFares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines, and you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call SmartFares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN Chuck Wilder here. Let me tell you about my guest, the one and only Robin Vitston, Executive Director of We the People Rising. That's a grassroots, all-volunteer, nationwide network. And We the People Rising works to stop amnesty legislation, promote secure borders, national security, plus jobs for Americans and veterans. And a website, WeThePeopleRising.com. Robin, how are you? How are you?
Doing good. Hello, Chuck.
Hey, you know what? I was thinking, well, I got to get Robin on. And my first question is it all over now? Is no more Trump rallies? And, you know, and I know you had a few back there, but guess what? I saw your latest posting here. I think it's the latest. Sunday, December 27th, if you're out in Southern California area, Yorba Linda, another Trump rally, right?
Absolutely. We are still fighting. Our president is still fighting. And that's going to be this Sunday, 3 p.m. in Yorba Linda. So come stand with us, America.
You know, I was just thinking, reaching back there to get this story here, you know, that where Trump has announced that he may not sign the so-called coronavirus bill, mm-hmm. says it has nothing to do with coronavirus. You know, it's all these handout to foreign countries and, you know, the Smithsonian. And what I'm trying to think what the other one was, but the one that got the most money. And, I mean, billions of dollars going out to has nothing to do with the coronavirus. And then he says the main complaint is that, you know, the little people, that would be like you and I and, you know, just the average American, is, you know, $600 a piece. And we're the one paying for the bill, right? Well, he says at least let's bring it up to $2,000 a piece. That would be $4,000 for a couple, you know, and that's like you wouldn't even notice it if you're one of those Congress critters when you're handing out billions of dollars to foreign countries. You know, the National Gallery of Art, the Smithsonian, here's the big one, the Kennedy Center, $1 billion. Now, you're a lady that gets around, and I say that in nice words, okay? you know a lot, and I understand that it's either Hillary or Pelosi who has a daughter connected to the Kennedy Center. Do you happen to know there, Robin, have you rubbed any elbows when you were drinking Kool-Aid somewhere?
Well, you know, Chuck, this is just beyond outrageous. And the Kennedy Center, Estonia, this is why we elected Trump, to stop the swamp. And here he is at the end of his first term fighting for us. And it seems like he is the only one in this hodgepodge of swamp standing up for the American people. Thank God for Trump.
Yeah. I mean, and look at all the accomplishments. I mean, for every single ethnic group, no matter who you were in America, he was on your side, you know. I had the highest support ever of the black population in the history of America. And they said, that's a done deal. You know, once you get that, you've got the election. And somehow something went wrong. Now, let me ask you here, on this rally that's coming up this Sunday, that'll be December 27th, Yorba Linda, and it's Imperial Highway and Yorba Linda Boulevard. Is it basically just a show of support, or what goes on at the rally? That's, I guess,
yeah, fine. It's a show of support. You can always just bring an American flag, and there will be a list of speakers. They'll be announced. Mm-hmm. So it's just a great way for patriots to get together and network and show the community, show the world that we are behind this president. Normally, there are a series of rallies in Southern California and across the nation. But this particular weekend, being Christmas weekend, there are less rallies. But, you know, your listeners can attend this one, and it's worth the drive. If they have to drive from a distance.
Yeah, and it's from 3 to 5 p.m., Imperial Highway, Yorba Linda Boulevard, Sunday, December 27th, Yorba Linda. Coming up on the bottom of the hour break here, Robin, and then we'll continue in just a moment. And by the way, it's from 3 to 5 p.m., only asking 2 hours. A funny thing, I got a feeling it might last a little longer, you know, just,
yeah.
Hey, when we come back, I got to ask you about this. Let me see what it is. It's the Electoral College, the challenge that's going on.
Right.
Mississippi, South Carolina, Alabama, and we'll get an update on that from the one and only Robin Vidston, H-V-I-D-S-T-O-N, in case you're sending her a Christmas card, but the website, WeThePeopleRising.com. Be back.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. That's 800-633-1378.
Does your current bathroom need to be updated immediately? Introducing One Day Bath and Shower Remodeling, the complete and hassle-free way to get the new bathroom of your dreams in as little as 1 day. And for as little as $199 a month. Yes, the experts at One Day Bath and Shower Remodeling will come to you anywhere in the country and show you all the customized options. Now you can have a brand new bathroom in as little as 1 day. Large or small bathroom, bathrooms. If you want a new bathtub or shower installed, we can do it in as little as one day. And if you call right now, you can save $750 off your remodel. We make it easy by offering you financing as low as $199 per month. Call now to schedule your free in-home consultation.
855-525-7454. 855-525-7454. That's 855-525-7454.
When you really want Italian food, you've got to get to Colombo's. Colombo's Italian Steakhouse and Jazz Club, Colorado Boulevard, Eagle Rock. It's that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. These are trying times.
Mom, please. Not the same old, same old.
Remedy?
Colombo's, yes. The world's most delicious meatballs and spaghetti. The lasagna. Daddy loves the great steaks and fish. Now that's Colombo's. Yum yums.
And all to be enjoyed in the comfort of your own home. 323-254-9138. Colombo's Euphoria. Plus, a short drive to Colombo's will do you good. And don't forget Colombo's remote holiday office parties.
And Mom, let's leave a meatball for Santa. Yay!
Christmas and Colombo's. 323-254-9138.
Colombo's. Mangia bene.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN, Chuck Wilder here with my guest Robin Vitston, Executive Director of We the People Rising, wethepeoplerising.com. So we got a few Republican Congress critters who have said, let's stop sitting around, let's see what we can do here. So now that there are lawmakers in Mississippi, South Carolina, and Alabama lobbying fellow Republicans to block president electors from contested states during the Electoral College vote count, and that'll be January 6th. Tell us about this one.
Yes. Well, there is a growing movement, Chuck, among state representatives, such as Mississippi, South Carolina, Alabama, as you mentioned. They are contacting their United States Congress members and senators, calling for them to contest the electoral vote being cast January 6th. Now, what it would start with is a floor debate, and that requires one Republican or one Congress member and one senator to initiate that. And it's looking pretty good that they are going to be able to establish a contesting of the electoral vote. Now, we have focused, We the People Rising, on contacting the South Carolina U.S. senators, and that be Senator Lindsey Graham and Senator Tim Scott,
right,
calling upon them to join with the chorus of mounting Congress members and some senators calling for contesting the Electoral College vote.
And I understand that Mo Brooks, Representative Mo Brooks, Republican Alabama, It says you're asking to join the challenge being planned. The basic question here is, Mo Brooks, is he the one that really kind of has the fire engine, so to speak, on the whole thing, or what?
Yes, he's been the original engine, so to speak, behind this. But more and more Republicans are having the courage to stand up like their president. If we look back at the Texas challenge that was in the Supreme Court, eventually many Republicans came on board. You know, Chuck, they're cowering under their desks, but it's like as if one Republican steps forward, others will. So that's what we're hoping will happen here.
I'll tell you something, Robin, talking about, you know, cowering under the desk. My guest in the second hour is Selwyn Duke, and he did a very, very good intensive report on how especially Republicans, Congress critters are getting, harassed and challenged by the Democrats. But not only that, it's also people in businesses like lawyers that work for Republicans. Anybody that's helping the Republicans, they're out to get them. You're not going to have a job. We're going to make sure nobody will hire you. I mean, it's like a war. And the bottom line on the whole thing is Republicans are too nice. They always have been.
That is so true. They're opposites. Democrats fight like tigers, and Republicans cower like little baby kitties. But what will also move a politician, even more sometimes than their lobbyists and the lawyers, et cetera, is if the people stand up in a large force, they will listen. That's why we need to be inundating the senators and Congress members with the truth, telling them that we want an accounting and fair elections. And if the people stand up, they will listen.
Well, and you have a number that you gave out in the WeThePeopleRising.com website, and it was Georgia Republican State House Speaker David Ralston.
Correct.
Yeah, and they're saying, you know, give him a call. Tell him to convene a special session regarding this voter fraud. And I'll give you the telephone number here, listener. And all my listeners except three walk around with, you know, pens or pencils, because I'm always doing this. But anyway, here it is for House Speaker David Ralston. Area code 404-656-5020. 404-656-5020. Yes, it's three zeros. That little kid was asking in the corner there. It's writing down for his mom because she's out shopping for his tractor. Or what is it you're getting? Oh, really? Yeah, you're getting a billy goat. Okay, that's different. Yeah, billy goats, you know what? You get a billy goat, and I'm sure the Democrats would start saying, yo, you know what's happening? Billy goats cause COVID. Yeah, COVID-19. All right. Well, you know what? Very, very important stuff here, and we've just about run out of time, Robin. And, of course, once again, if you're in Southern California, Sunday, all right, Sunday afternoon, 3 to 5 p.m., you can go to Yorba Linda. It's the Imperial Highway and Yorba Linda Boulevard. It's like you only have to make one turn, okay? And I want you to get there and go to the rally, and your chances are that you're going to meet Robin. And guess what? I bet she'd even sign an autograph, wouldn't you?
Woohoo! yeah, we'll be there.
That's why she carries the flag in her mouth.
That's right.
She can write left-handed and right-handed, and she'll be signing autographs. And I'm going to tell you, and another thing for Southern Californians, there's no sense in saying, Sunday, I'm gonna have to watch the Rams game. No, they already played, and guess what? The worst team in the history of football beat them. So forget it. Go to see Robin. How's that?
That's great.
Okay. Hey, have a very Merry Christmas.
Trump is fighting, and the people need to stand up, be a loud voice, and fight alongside our president.
He is fighting, and he always has been. Thank you very much.
And God bless.
You too. And speaking of Trump, I just happen to have the guy coming up, David Rubin, former mayor of Shiloh, Israel, and he's wrote this book called Trump and the Jews, and he's also founder and president of the Shiloh Israel's Children Fund. And I'm going to tell you, see the political events in Israel still shifting very quickly, and Gedan Sarur, I hope I get it right again, I'll never get it right anyway, and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's chief rival is the Likud party, has just split and formed a new party called New Hope, which is already in the number 2 position over there. And I think we were talking a little bit about that last week. David Rubin, let me get to you right away, sir. How are you?
Well, I'm fine. I was trying not to laugh too much, Chuck.
Yeah, she's a funny girl.
Yeah. But I can help you.
Oh, man. You know what? I've got it written down. Let me see here. I got Likud. Okay, and I mispronounced that already, I guess. Yes.
Yeah,
Likud. Sayar, wasn't that it from last week?
Well, I think we discussed it a little bit.
Yeah,
Things are developing very quickly, as always.
Yeah, the pronunciation, is it Sayar?
They always are.
Oh. Always are. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
Look, that is Israel. Israel is a place where the politics is on steroids. And it doesn't matter whether you have lockdowns and all kinds of this crazy COVID-19 stuff, you are still going to have the politics on steroids. And that's what we have here right now.
Well, and
the government fell.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, I think, David, that if you have COVID as your partner, things seem to go better for you if when it comes to ruling people. You know what I'm saying? No matter where you are.
Yeah, and I agree with you, Chuck. I agree 100%. You know, you mentioned my book, Trump and the Jews.
Uh-huh.
And yes, I have become an expert on that particular topic. So when Trump and Netanyahu are compared, you know, Netanyahu, meaning Benjamin Netanyahu, Israel's prime minister, long-standing prime minister, people very often make that comparison between Trump and Netanyahu and say, you know, the two of them, they get along well, they have a friendship, they're very, very similar, they're both conservative. The truth is, when it comes to COVID-19 and how to deal with the pandemic, they're polar opposites.
Really?
Polar opposites. Trump, his whole approach has been, well, the goal has to be, of course, to try and save lives as much as possible and to heal people.
Mm-hmm.
And the goal has to be to get the vaccine and get the therapeutics and do all of that as fast as possible to save lives. But at the same time, you don't shut down the economy. You don't destroy the economy, destroy people's lives, take away their livelihoods, ruin their families, create mental illness. You don't do all of those things when you know that those are going to be the results. You don't have a lockdown when you know those are going to be the results.
Mm-hmm.
Netanyahu has taken the opposite approach. He's been more like the governor of California that believes in locking down everybody,
mm-hmm,
and then going and doing his own thing. that is a horrible approach. It shows the self-serving nature of some of the politicians. And unfortunately, Netanyahu, who has had great achievements, does not compare to Trump in any way when it comes to dealing with the COVID crisis.
But, you know, and David, you look at all that President Trump accomplished, you know, with the economy, jobs. I mean, higher than any time in the history of the United States in a lot of different categories. And it's hard to run against somebody like that. So if you tear down everything he built by, you know, closing down America, and that's basically what they did, that's a good way maybe you could win an election.
Well, if you can't run against someone like that, so you can always cheat. Because of the pandemic, so the Democrats were able to have their massive mail-in ballot campaign, and they were talking about it for a very long time.
Oh yeah.
It was their dream, it was their wish. And they apparently covered all their tracks, or at least it seems that way at this point.
Yeah.
And they did it very well, very professionally.
And if you were with me, listener, last time I talked to David Rubin, you would find out they do it the right way in Israel when it comes to voting. And the way you go to whatever they're doing, and that's exactly what we should be doing. And believe it or not, there's another place, and that's Mexico, that's equal to what you're doing in Israel. You know, they even make you put the dye on your finger in Mexico just to prove you've voted.
Well, Chuck, we don't do the dye on the finger, but what we do is something very simple. We go to vote on the day of the election, and we show a voter ID. We show something very basic. It could be a driver's license, but a photo ID, and that's it. And then you get to vote. You deposit your ID with the people outside the voting booth.
Mm-hmm.
There are several different people from each of the political parties there, and they're checking things out and they're working together. And then once you voted, you come out of the voting booth. You get your voter ID, your photo ID back, and that's it. You've done your civic duty. Pretty simple, right?
Very. Very simple, but it's easier to cheat the other way, of course. Hey, let me ask you here. Last week we were talking about the new threat to Netanyahu, the gentleman we were talking about earlier. And now, how about the Yamina party? How are they doing? Are they falling or something? That's what I'm getting recently.
So it's pretty fascinating. What has happened is that, yes, there was that deadlock between the left and the right, and that's why you had the previous couple of elections. But now the left has plummeted, and the top three parties are the breakaway party from the party that broke off from the Likud, formed a new party. That's Gideon Saar, and he formed the New Hope Party, and he's polling second in the polls right now. He's right behind Likud. And then after Gideon Saar and his New Hope Party, you have Naftali Bennett's Yamina Party, and they're a further right party. So those, and then you have a left of center party right after that, so called Yesh Atid. So what you have is three out of the top four parties, according to the surveys right now, are right-of-center parties. And there has never been anything like that in Israeli politics.
So it's Likud, Gideon Saar, and Naftali Bennett, 1, 2, 3, and Netanyahu is down there or is mixed up in the middle somewhere?
Well, Netanyahu is the head of the Likud.
Oh, okay.
And they're still leading in the polls. They've dropped somewhat because of his poor handling of the COVID crisis. But they're still number one in the polls. But what's fascinating is that you have three right of center parties: Likud, New Hope, and those are both right of center. And then Yamina is number three. And they are further to the right, more conservative.
Wow. All right, hold it right there, David, and we're going to take this break real quick. We'll be back in just a moment with more from David Rubin, author of Trump and the Jews. The website, davidrubinisrael.com. Also, we'll try to talk about shilohisraelchildren.org when we return, if we have time. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Let's talk about your credit cards. When you first start using them, it's a slow drip. You make charges, then more charges, then bills come, and they keep coming. When you open your statements, the floodgates come pouring in. You realize you have more credit card debt than you can afford. and you're barely making the minimum payments. Wouldn't it be nice to make one affordable payment and have all your credit card bills covered? Make this free call and learn our responsible way to get your credit card bills paid and under control.
Sponsored by Consumer Education Services, a nonprofit organization.
800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. That's 800-876-3643.
CESI is not a loan company. The establishment of a debt management plan may adversely affect your credit rating. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance and other charges to undertake collection activity, including liquidation.
Attention Italian food lovers. Angelo's and Vinci's Ristorante in Fullerton, California is open for takeout. Angelo's and Vinci's Takeout is available to offer you pizza, pasta, chicken, seafood, and the best Italian food in town. Order today and feast on salads, the best pizza, thin or thick crust, chicken marsala, parmesan, and more. Homemade lasagna, fettuccine alfredo, tortellini, antipasto, and caprese salads. Plus for dessert, homemade zeppoles and tiramisu flown in from Rome. We hope you're healthy and safe. And we want to keep you well fed. Wapo's To-Go Kitchen is open from 4 to 9 p.m. every day, or you can order through DoorDash. Remember, our pizza dough, bread, and sauces are still being made fresh every day. Angelo's and Vinci's, named Best Italian Restaurant on the Orange County Hot List. 550 North Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton, California. Call us at 714-879-4022. Angelo's and Vinci's, 714-879-4022, 714-879-4022.
Attention real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want. If you own one rental property or 100, and COVID has left you in a cash crunch, we can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need. 800-353-1760. 800-353-1760. 800-353-1760. That's 800-353-1760.
Everybody's talking at me. CRN, Chuck Wilder with David Rubin, former mayor of Shiloh of Israel. Trump and the Jews is the name of the book. And sorry I had to interrupt you there, David, for that break. You can continue there if you'd like, please.
Okay. So, I don't remember exactly what I was saying before the break. So, I know we were talking about the Israeli elections and what's going on. There are the three parties, and I believe that's where we were. We're talking about how Israel right now has three right-of-center parties leading in the polls. And that's the first time that that has ever been the case.
Yeah.
So if you look
and
at
Netanyahu,
the polls,
he was kind of forced to go into the other party, wasn't he?
Well, Netanyahu is still the head of the Likud party, but as I said, Gideon Sar, who was one of the leaders in the Likud, split off from the Likud because he was Netanyahu's number two several years back.
Ah, okay.
And Netanyahu was not happy about him being number two because he saw him as a threat of challenging him. And Sar said that's not the case. He's, you know, just happy to be a minister in the government and be a loyal Likudnik, as they say, just be a loyal person to the prime minister. But that's not what happened. Eventually, they did come into conflict, and Sar ran against Netanyahu in the primaries. He lost. But he retained some popularity, and he left the Likud now, and he happened to leave the Likud at a time when voters were looking for somebody other than Netanyahu, because as I said, Netanyahu's handling of the pandemic has made him fairly unpopular, even among right-wing voters.
They'll have a recall over there like they're trying to do here on Newsom, you know. He's not careful.
Well, if he's not careful. But now at this point, there is going to be not a recall, but as they say, the people will decide. And there's going to be an election. It's set already for March 23rd. Uh-huh. And the vote is going to go back to the people. The people are going to make the decision about who they want leading the country.
Now, you know, in the last minute that we have here, David, we know that if they want to get a copy of the book, all right, it is available at Amazon.com, but you can also go to DavidRubinIsrael.com, right? And you have a link there?
That's true. That's true. They can just go to DavidRubinIsrael.com. Rubin is R-U-B-I-N, by the way, so it's DavidRubinIsrael.com. Three words, DavidRubinIsrael.com. They can get more information about my latest book, Trump and the Jews. They can also find out about my previous books, the other six books, and they can order it through the website. But the link on the DavidRubinIsrael.com website goes directly to Amazon.
Fantastic.
So it'll bring them to whichever book they click on.
David Rubin, RUB. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yeah, there you have it. And they could always go to Amazon.com and just write in the words Trump and the Jews or any of the other books.
Fantastic. And as we run out of time, David, I want to remind the listeners to please go to Shiloh Israel Children, ShilohIsraelChildren.org, and check out that site. Next time we talk to David, we'll talk more about that site. Thank you very much, David, and look forward to our next visit, sir.
You're welcome, and thank you, Chuck.
All right. DavidRubinIsrael.com, ShilohIsraelChildren.org. Be right back. CRN Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here, along with Jeremy Dayton. And we're live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. My guest, David, I had him. Robin, oh, you had him too. Okay. Selwyn Duke. He's written for The New American and a lot of others, but mainly The New American. Contributed to college textbooks published by Gale Sinage Learning. And the website, that's the most important thing, selwynduke.com. SelwynDuke.com. Hey, Selwyn, how are you?
I'm doing just fine, Chuck. I don't have COVID, I don't think. I'm very healthy, and if I did have COVID, I might not know it, but how are you?
I am, you know what? I'm having a weird day today. Just messing up little things like normally I don't do, and don't have my oxygen on. That may have something to do with it, but I don't know. I'm telling you, it's one of those days.
Then you've achieved complete congruence here, Chuck, because you're having a weird day, and now you've got a weird guest. So it all
No, never, 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 never. Man, I gotta tell you, I'm going to try to get as many of these as I can in. But ex-judge election justice stymied because whole court system intimidated by the left. I'm going to tell you, scary stuff from Selwyn Duke. Then we got the study of almost 10 million. I'm giving you this figure, listener, and it's very important. 10 million people, all right? There was a study of 10 million. And wait until you find out what the results were about should you or should you not wear a mask and things like that. Oh, wow. Free speech victory. Woman was arrested after calling a trans by male pronouns. She finally is freed. But I think you can't say freed. You got to say release. Are they working on that word too? Freed or release or maybe freed sounds too much like something they don't like. Wow, I'll tell you. But this
it's hard to keep up with the lexicon of the left, isn't
it? Imagine that doing your duty could not only mean losing your career, but even worser. Hey, I got to say the word, worser. Might be the last time this year. They hate that word, Selwyn.
Yeah.
Yeah, intimidation. Yeah, well, boy, this is unbelievable. I'd heard about it a couple of days ago because Aho Cortez actually kind of let it leak out what the Democrats were doing, and they were upset with her because this, payback system, I guess, but it's called something else.
Right, right. You know, she's talked about how they should make a list of conservatives, and the truth is we all know about cancel culture, Chuck, or most people do, but it's a lot worse than people think, and that's the point of my article. And I open with, as you said, imagine that doing your duty could not only mean losing your career, but also becoming a pariah, getting death threats, having your children harassed, and maybe even needing armed protection. And unfortunately, Chuck, it's getting to the point in the United States where for more and more Americans, that absolutely is a reality. And the story that I covered here dovetails with this. This ex-Wisconsin judge, his name is James Troupas. He said during testimony that pressure from the left is stopping lawyers and judges from accepting and hearing vote fraud cases.
Yeah.
So the point is, we hear all these leftists crowing, oh, you know, there have been dozens of cases that Trump has brought and his team has brought and others such as Sidney Powell have brought. And what has it come to? They've all been thrown out of court, and the left crows. Well, yeah, they've been thrown out of court, and maybe in certain cases there was reason to do so, but there's no doubt in my mind, Chuck, that in other cases, fear is entering the equation here.
Yeah.
And even though Troupas, this fellow who is testifying, and by the way, he's representing Trump now, he mentioned that, and he said, you know, I was very pleased, I was honored to represent Trump, I was pleased to get the call from him, but I'm not naive, he said. I know that one reason why I got the call is that premier law firms simply will not take this job now. And let me read you what he said. Now, he doesn't put it as starkly as I did in my opening sentence, talking about becoming a pariah and needing armed protection. He was talking mainly about career and reputational destruction. But he said, we do, quote, have to acknowledge that the court system has been deeply intimidated by the left, just as the lawyers have been intimidated. He said this to the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee last Wednesday, Chuck.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, that's a sad, sad state of affairs. Troupas, and I'm quoting here Frank Silvato from National File, was just one of the witnesses who appeared before the committee to testify on irregularities and fraud they witnessed in several locations during the November 3rd, 2020 general election. Well,
hey,
let me ask you something real quick
escapes my little tiny brain. Remember when Trump was talking about how many judges he'd appointed? When he first got in, all these judges that we're putting in, and this judge and this judge, and we're up to 47 or 74. Does that ring a bell with you? I mean, about how every once in a while, probably every once a week at least, he'd say, doing a great job now, we're getting all these judges appointed, you know, in different districts and stuff. So are these judges also the ones that are under threat? Or do you know what I'm even talking about here? Because I'm probably...
Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I mean, Trump has helped, as they put it, reshape the judiciary. But how much can he really do? Yeah, because the bottom line is this. One, it's very hard to find good judges, in my estimation, right, because they're all indoctrinated with the same nonsense and the same law schools. Number two, I'm going to tell you something I've never related before in your show, okay? And I think I can relate this now because the man who told me this, unfortunately, has passed on. But I'm talking about Lee Dreyer. He was a judge down in Tennessee. Great man, by the way, a friend of mine. He used to have the Conservative Law and Politics show, which I would be on regularly. All right? Very, very good man. And again, he was a judge. He once told me, quote, most judges are sociopaths. And I said, wait a second, Lee, you're just speaking loosely. You don't mean most, right? He said, no, I literally mean most. So that's another factor. A lot of these people, because I do believe, Lee, a lot of these people are very low character and may be highly problematic individuals. And then you add to the equation all this intimidation, and it's understandable why it's very hard to achieve justice nowadays via the judiciary. Now, getting back to this fellow James Troupas and what he said, quote, one of the reasons I was called by Trump is because virtually every major law firm in this country and in this city, and I think he meant Milwaukee, Wisconsin, refused to represent the president. not because of the lack of merit of his claims. We've certainly demonstrated that there is merit. But because of the cancel culture, because of the environment that has been created by the left that has intimidated lawyers so that they can't be here. They're not here from the giant law firms precisely because they were ordered by their management committees and others that
right.
You cannot take those cases. And the reason you cannot take those cases is because our clients or the Democrat Party or the incoming administration will remember that and they will hold it against you. So it's a very serious problem.
Right.
He's not exaggerating, Trump. You know, I've been pointing out to people for years, you have to understand that the left is all about power. It plays for keeps. And here's the thing. No one says these things about conservatives. No one says, oh, you know, I'm afraid to do this or that. I'm afraid to do my job because of an incoming Republican administration. That doesn't happen because conservatives tend to play by the rules and they tend to play nice. Democrats, leftists, they play for keeps. And they have done this, like I've said before on your show,
yeah.
All throughout history. That's why we've seen such violence from the left, starting with the French Revolution when we had the first leftists, and going up, Mao Zedong and the Red Guard and the Khmer Rouge in Cambodia, so on and so forth. The National Front leftists during the Spanish Civil War period. It just goes on and on and on. It's wash, rinse, and repeat. And we're seeing that here, too. And it's
very dangerous. Yeah. I wonder because on what I have page 2 of your report, you talk about the Lincoln Project. I want to talk about that in a moment. But then you say the Trump GOP attorneys currently calls to boycott Trump's attorneys and to challenge their law license. I mean, they must have some little hidden thing that they know about. And if they know about it, all these other lawyers that are fighting the other lawyers, you know, maybe they know that, well, we could challenge your license too, you know. You know what I'm saying? Monkey see, monkey do,
yeah.
Or whatever. But the Lincoln Project, man, that has got to be one of the most out of context, what am I looking for, names to call a group of people, the Lincoln Project, because it sounds like, boy, they'd really be up and up and all about freedom and justice and all this, but they're not necessarily maybe on the one top 10 in your nice list, huh?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because the left is all about projection, as you know. What they're accusing you of, they're generally guilty of in almost every case.
Yeah.
And they're also guilty of, or they're also a good example of, the Orwellian habit of giving things names that are the just the opposite of what they're all about. So, you know, war is peace, freedom is slavery, those slogans from 1984, the book. And the Lincoln Project, of course, is nothing of the sort. And here I was quoting another lawyer, an ex-judge, her name is Patricia G. Barnes. She wrote at her blog, quote, among other things, a group called the Lincoln Project called on clients to stop working with big firms that represented Trump and shared the phone numbers and the email addresses of Trump GOP attorneys. Moreover, there currently are calls to boycott Trump attorneys and to challenge their law licenses, like you said, Trump. So, Chuck, I'm calling you Trump. Well, I don't know if that's a compliment or not, if I'm flattering you, but anyway,
no,
Chuck.
No, yeah, thank you. And you know, like
you're Mr. Big. That's what it is. You're the president on the West Coast.
And look at Tucker Carlson talking about giving out phone numbers and addresses. You know, it is how low can you go, right?
Yeah. Well, again, I've said this before, I believe, on your show, but if you want to understand how to deal with the left, and I mean this, and just take it as a mental exercise, an intellectual exercise, if you're not a person of faith, but just make believe you're dealing with Satan. Then you will understand how to deal with the left, and you'll go into the situation with your eyes open. Just understand that the left is beneath contempt and above nothing. It's all about power. Its credo is Aleister Crowley's credo, do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. And we're seeing it more and more. It's not going to get better unless we do something about it and stop them. We see it with the cancel culture, which is actually a fairly euphemistic way of describing what's going on. I mean, careers have been ended. We've seen it over and over and over again simply because people uttered politically incorrect sentiments. We see it now with what's going on with these judges and these attorneys. And we're going to see it more in the future. We see it with the hidden Trump vote, Chuck. Yeah. Why was there a hidden Trump vote? People who supported the president but who wouldn't express that to pollsters because they were worried, again, about career and reputational destruction. And the left is doing this because they know it works. I mean, they subscribe to Mao Zedong's credo, power flows from the barrel of a gun. I mean, it absolutely works. They're sending the message. And this, by the way, is also why they're going after Donald Trump, because he had the temerity to actually crash their little party. He's someone from outside the establishment, and he actually had the nerve to become part of the power structure and, in fact, the head of it. And they want to send a message that says, hey, if you oppose us, if you become a dissident, we will hurt you. And that's what this is all about. That's what the investigations of Trump are all about. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, coming up on a break here, and whenever Selwyn mentions, you know, that they would like to do it with the power of the gun, and, of course, you're not going to have the gun, remember, because they're going to buy back your gun or just make sure you can't have guns. And then you might say, well, what about the American Bar Association? Now, that should take care of all this problems that we have, and, well, guess what? But the one thing I really want to get in right here as we go into this break, Selwyn, is in a moment you bring up the name Victor Davis Hanson. Boy, was I so impressed with this guy. He used to be a regular on the George Putnam Show. And every time he comes on the Carson Show, I watch him. He's one of those smart fellows, you know, like, what's that guy's name? Oh, yeah, Selwyn Duke. That's right. Selwyn Duke.
And like Chuck Wilder.
The New American. But Chuck Wilder doesn't have a website that says SelwynDuke.com. That's right. Be back.
It's totally normal to be constipated with belly pain, straining, and bloating again and again.
No way.
You could have a chronic condition called irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives to help relieve belly pain and let you have more frequent and complete bowel movements. Individual results may vary. Do not give to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Talk to your doctor today. You may be able to save on Linzess and make fewer trips to the pharmacy. See if you're eligible to pay as little as $30 for 90 days. Visit Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy. Some uncle I never knew called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called the Tax Doctor. And the Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less. 800-391-8713. 800-391-8713. That's 800-391-8713.
Here's an important COVID-19 school system update for your local area. If you're concerned about your child's education, please pay close attention to this message. The current school systems were not set up for at-home learning. If you're worried that your child may not be getting the grades they need to get ahead, may be losing self-confidence, or you're worried about them getting into a good college because of their grades, help is available to you. Call Grade Potential Tutoring. They can help with in-home or online tutoring and help your child with any subject and every grade level, even for test prep. They're experts in the home tutoring and online tutoring field and confident they can help you and your child get better grades today. Call now for your free consultation. 800-489-6575.
800-489-6575. 800-489-6575. That's 800-489-6575.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN Chuck Wilder here with Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American and the website selwynduke.com. And let's see, I think we're going to mention, I said the American Bar Association. I think at one time people really believed in them, right, Selwyn? Thought they had a pretty high rating, or not.
Right, right.
Is that
I know. We can't trust the Bar Association today, and we can't trust another bar either, can we? Bill Barr. So the bars are just out. The bars are not going to help us out at all.
But I'm going to tell you, the bars are very smart because they know that COVID comes in at 10 o'clock, right? 10 p.m., and it leaves around 6 a.m. in the morning. So those are smart bars. But
those are smart bars, absolutely. Boy. Despite all the alcohol, they've got it going on a lot more than Bill Barr and the American Bar Association.
Is there anyone you can trust? I mean, you know, Comey and the FBI director and William Barr. I mean, it's like, wow, these people, I guess, job security, exactly what we're talking about now. Maybe they say, well, you know, maybe I'd like to teach school when I get out of here or something like that, and I want a job. Or maybe nobody would publish my novel. I don't know.
So. Yeah. Well, exactly. And, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that because this is something else I have in my article, and I did want to mention it here, which is that this cancel culture, this threat of personal destruction, I think is operative in so many ways. For instance, we have to ask, why has Bill Barr's or why have Bill Barr's endeavors been completely fruitless? Why has he not brought charges against deep staters during his tenure? Well, okay, maybe it's because he's just part of the deep state, but I've long suspected that fear is constraining him, Chuck. Mm. I think, and I said this to people a long time ago, that he knows that if he takes these people to task, okay, if he charges them, and if he gets some of them imprisoned, well, when the left regains power, they're going to come after him with a vengeance. They're going to try to get him on something. And he could end up dying in prison. And you might say, well, if you're innocent, what do you have to worry about, right? Well, remember something. As Lavrenti Beria said a long time ago, he was a right-hand man of Joseph Stalin's. He said, show me the man, and I'll show you the crime. So if they really want to get you on something, they can. But also, how else is this operative, perhaps, this cancel culture? Well, we saw that the Supreme Court a while back, Chuck, rejected that Texas case where Texas was suing other states. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, did fear factor into that equation? Maybe, maybe not. We don't know. But what could the Supreme Court be afraid of? The same thing. One, it's afraid of court packing schemes. The Democrats have threatened that. And, of course, they're going to do that anyway, I believe, unless the Supreme Court simply rules the way the left wants in basically every significant case. But they also, the justices, Chuck, could be afraid of far more. I mean, they know that if they end up participating in the overturning of this election and in the doing of justice, because the election was stolen, then they have to know they will be pariahs. They'll need personal protection. They'll get death threats. If they have kids, their kids could be imperiled. So you have to say, how much guts do you have to stand up against that? You have to have a lot of intestinal fortitude,
and how many,
let me tell you.
How many Democrats? How many Democrats have gone to trial and all? And I'll tell you something with Bill Barr, okay? If he got locked up, I'm just going to give you some advice, okay? You need to get a really strong rope, you know, because Epstein, he had a little thin rope or something that he made. So, Bill, you better start looking for a big, heavy rope. Yeah. Yes, really. Isn't it amazing how they get away with everything? It's just...
it really is something. I've been saying for years that today being a liberal means never having to say you're sorry. It really is something. I mean, it's interesting. Why did the Me Too movement fizzle? I know I'm going off on a tangent here, Chuck, but you'll see there's method to my madness. Well, the Me Too movement was all the rage. Then all of a sudden, the thing fizzled. It was because 90% of the people who got caught up in it, it turned out, were leftists. Now, I could have told them this, that this would be the result, because leftists tend to be reprobates. Of course they're engaging in a lot of sexual abuse behind the scenes. That's not surprising. And by the way, when I say 90%, that's basically a statistic. You can investigate it. You'll see I'm correct. But that's why it fizzled, because they do not want to hold their own to account. Not at all. Not at all.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, wow. It's terrible. We have a multi-tiered justice system today. There is one type of justice for the connected, one type of justice for the so-called little people, one type of justice for conservatives, another type of justice for liberals. And I should say the type that
like,
conservatives get really is injustice.
It's like four or five parties away from being a socialist or a communist nation. And when it comes to the Me Too movement, you know, and you said you could have told them, all I can say about that is, me too.
Yeah.
Oh, that worked. Yeah, okay.
Selwyn,
we're going to our award-winning break. Coming up next, Selwyn Duke got to save me here today. And we're going to talk about what 10 million doesn't really mean that much anymore, believe it or not. Selwyn Duke, it's selwynduke.com.
For the getaway of your dreams, come to Hawaii's Playground, Ka'anapali Beach Resort, on the fun side of Maui, where the world comes to play. Find your spot on Ka'anapali Beach with 3 miles of white sand, 12 resort properties, 2 golf courses, and 2 shopping centers. Enjoy the playground of Hawaii's ancient royalty. Ka'anapali Beach Resort is Hawaii's original master planned destination resort and home of the Hawaii Food and Wine Festival. With views of 2 neighboring islands, you can breathe in the land's natural beauty from your favorite resort or golf fairway. Come experience Ka'anapali's own special brand of Hawaiian hospitality with world-class dining, relaxing resorts, water sports, and activities of every kind. For romantic, family, and great friend getaways, discover the options of Ka'anapali Beach Resort, where the world comes to play. Plan your getaway today. Visit KaanapaliResort.com. That's KaanapaliResort.com.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Hill Street Cafe Burbank would like to thank all of you for your continued support. During these difficult times, Hill Street Cafe is remaining open for takeout and delivery service from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. They'll be offering a modified menu to keep prices down and maintain the best quality. The safety of their customers and employees is their top priority, and they're abiding by all CDC and Health Department regulations. Order via their Hill Street Cafe ChowNow app or on their website, Hill Street Cafe. online.com. You have the option of a curbside pickup. We will bring the food out to your car. You are also able to order for delivery or pickup via the normal food delivery apps like Grubhub, Postmates, Uber Eats, and DoorDash. Hill Street Cafe is here to serve you. Call them at 818-845-0046 or come by to pick up at 3301 North Glen Oaks Boulevard in Burbank, California. Hill Street Cafe, Burbank. Pickup and delivery services are available at 818-845-0046 or visit them at HillStreetCafeOnline.com.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, is to call SmartFares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and SmartFares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines, and you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call SmartFares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN, Chuck Wilder with Selwyn Duke, D-U-K-E, and it's selwynduke.com, S-E-L-W-Y-N-Duke.com. And this is one, Selwyn, another one of your excellent reports that I would suggest when I tell you, listeners, selwynduke.com, is go there, not now, no, stop, listen to the show, there you go. Anyway, go there and print this up. Because if you're one that has doubts about COVID and walking around and wearing the mask and a lot of other things, there's a study, and it was conducted on 10 million people. How can you go wrong with a, I mean, my goodness, if you had 10 million people in a, you know, in a CBS studio, that'd be a hit show, wouldn't it? Anyway, tell us about this. This is unbelievable.
Yeah. No, it is unbelievable. And what's even more unbelievable is that the mainstream media have been suppressing it. But this is a very important question, Chuck, because whether or not the coronavirus can be spread asymptomatically is one of the most important questions surrounding this disease, because all of our regulations are based around the idea that it can be spread asymptomatically. And I mean mask mandates, social distancing, shutting down all sorts of businesses, ravaging our economy, ravaging people's lives, causing death from a host of other causes, causing illness, because, of course, poverty and economic dislocation have associated with them a whole host of negative health outcomes. And that's why we should be talking about this. And to this end, we should discuss this major study that involves almost 10 million people. And here's what it found. Zero cases of asymptomatic transmission of the China virus. Okay, now, this was conducted in Wuhan, China, and that's regarded to be ground zero for SARS-CoV-2, so it might be significant. But I'll quote here the American Institute of Economic Research. Here's what it reported. It said, the researchers' quote conclusion is not that asymptomatic spread is rare or that the science is uncertain. The study revealed something that hardly ever happens in these kinds of studies. There was not one documented case. Forget rare. Forget even Fauci's previous suggestion that asymptomatic transmission exists but does not drive the spread. Replace all that with never, at least not in this study of 10 million. Okay, so anyway, I'm not saying, Chuck, that this is definitive. I mean, look, this is coming out of China, and I want to be intellectually consistent. Anything coming out of China, we do maybe have to regard a little bit suspiciously. But my point is here is that this is not the only indication we've had that maybe this disease does not spread all that easily asymptomatically. I mean, the World Health Organization said back in June, on June 8th, in fact, that asymptomatic transmission appears to be very rare. One of its representatives made that statement, and it's on video. And again, I'm not saying anything definitive on this because I want to make it very clear. I'm not omniscient. I don't have complete knowledge on this, and everyone is responsible for his own health decisions. I emphasize that because you're going to have to derive the benefits of those decisions, enjoy the benefits, or you're going to have to suffer the consequences of those decisions. But the point is that whatever the truth is about this study out of Wuhan, China, and whatever the truth is on this matter of asymptomatic transmission of the China virus, this is something we should be talking a lot about. But it's not happening because it's contrary to the narrative. And the narrative we get is just the same drumbeat continually. It's wear masks, socially distance. Oh, we can never get back to normal. We have a vaccine, but we still can't get back to normal. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. And I have to tell you, talking about the asymptomatic transmission, I always found it odd, Chuck, just personally, the claim that the China virus could be spread if you didn't have symptoms. Because We don't look at it that way with any other respiratory disease we talk about, the flu, the cold. We understand that if you're not coughing, if you don't have aches, if you're not sneezing, if you don't have fever or maybe congestion, we realize that you're not contagious and we don't worry about it. But supposedly with this disease, as I put it in my article, an apparently healthy, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed me, Selwyn Duke, could supposedly just be telling you about the China virus from 3 feet away and give you the China virus. So is any of this true? Well, we don't know, and we're not going to know unless we put emphasis on this particular topic.
Well,
but
you know,
we're not hearing.
Yeah. I was going to say, until further notice, you know, people like you and I are still allowed to voice our opinion. You know, we can say what we want to say. And I know that because you're a world famous writer and I'm a semi-famous talk show host, then, you know, maybe we have to be more careful. But I've always, Selwyn, I've always gone with this whole thing about mask, you know, is that basically it shows them that they've succeeded in having control of you. And it's like you're not wearing the yellow star, you know, like you did in, like they had to, you know, in Germany. But it's showing.
Yeah.
And then I see a thing, and I think it might have been on Facebook, I'm not sure, where they have these pens out in the meadows, and they're holding all these big hogs in these pens, you know, and they're all next to each other.
Mm.
Yeah. And then it shows you, you know, how they hold you separated in separate pens. The other thing is it seems like every once in a while you'll hear just a bit about, well, we have fewer flu cases this year, fewer pneumonia cases this year than we've ever had. And I'm just die hard on this whole thing that they're not giving you the real statistics, you know. Of
no,
how
they're
they
not.
Died.
They're not.
Look at these
they're
famous people. You know, just recently, Charlie Pride, the black musician, right, dies at 86 from COVID. And then there's another one, famous guy, 83, dies from COVID. You know, 114, you know, he dies of COVID. It's too much. And it's, and when you've got the mainstream media spewing it out, what can we do?
Yeah, well, that's assuming that they really did die of COVID, but we can't be sure of that because they're attributing a lot of other causes of death to COVID. We know that nowadays. I mean, a while back, the CDC admitted, CDC itself, that actually 88,280 deaths that were attributed to COVID actually were caused by the flu or pneumonia. They said 51,000 were actually caused by heart attacks. Now, don't get me wrong. They say that in vulnerable people, COVID can perhaps induce heart attacks. Yeah. So there is some overlap there. But my point is that there is a lot of nonsense here. And you mentioned the flu. Well, there's no way that flu cases are basically going to disappear. I remember Michael Savage, who's not only a talk show host, but he's a trained epidemiologist. He said months ago that he examined April 6th data, and he found that the flu cases had dropped almost to zero. Now, what was he implying? He was implying that there's only one logical conclusion. Those flu cases were being lumped in with COVID. Mm-hmm. I brought a loved one to a hospital, a local one here in Westchester a while back, and I was talking to the security guard outside, who is a very intelligent young man, for a while, and the subject of COVID came up. And he wasn't a very political person, mind you, but he was just talking about how it affected the institution. And then he said casually towards the end of his remarks, and of course, they're lumping in all the flu cases with COVID. Now, I mentioned this to people on Twitter, and some said, oh, well, you know, he's a security guard. You know, they were throwing shade on him. Like, what does that mean? Well, I'll tell you what it means. Just like he was talking to me, I'm sure he talks to nurses and doctors, and I'm sure he hears them talk, and he hears things. So that's inside information. But there's no doubt that that's going on, especially you have to factor into the equation. Institutions, hospitals, I understand, are getting more money when they label deaths as COVID deaths. So if you subsidize something, you get more of it. That's an economic principle. That's
you know what, and you bring that up to some people, and they say, no, they don't. You know, now even, I've even heard this on, I think, one or two of the mainstream TVs are talking about, you know, payoffs. and just this last COVID relief bill, their talk about how, more money going to the hospitals that operated on COVID. Sorry about that.
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay.
But anyway,
Dr. Carlson had the same problem last night.
They'll say it. You know, they'll say it. You know, but it's sort of like, whoops, it leaked out, but we're not gonna carry this on any further. But even the nurse, the first nurse, I guess, when this first started, you know, she got fired because she made this long recording about things that were going on. She didn't like it. And the doctors, you know, some of them even went on Tucker Carlson's show saying, yeah, you know, they tell us, you know, you get paid more if it's a COVID case. So why wouldn't you? If the guy got run over by a motorcycle or hit by a car or whatever, and then you say, yeah, COVID, so you just made more money.
Yeah. No, it really is something. Like I said, if you subsidize something, you get more of it. That's the law of economics. And we were talking about the flu. And let me just emphasize again, because I do want to be responsible, that if you're older or you're vulnerable, you cited those cases before of the singer. They were in their 80s. Obviously, that's a vulnerable group. Then you have to be careful about all sorts of respiratory diseases, not just COVID. I mean, I've cited this before, but during the 2017-2018 flu season, during a few-week period around February, January 2018, Chuck, the elderly were dying of the flu at the rate of 169 a day or 7 an hour. And no one ever talked about that. So, sure, if you're vulnerable or elderly, take whatever precautions you have to against the flu, against COVID, but we should not be turning our society upside down because there's a modified flu in the population. And that really is the point here. And the politicians must agree, because if you look at what they do behind the scenes, they don't seem to believe in their own rhetoric, do they? I mean, you have politicians like Gavin Newsom, Nancy Pelosi, Dianne Feinstein, various mayors, you know, who are violating their own COVID prescriptions. They're caught not wearing masks. They're caught not socially distancing and being unmasked, like Gavin Newsom at that restaurant, the French whatever it was called.
Yeah.
You have mayors who will tell people, oh, don't travel. Then immediately, within an hour, they take a trip down south somewhere. That happened in one case. So what's going on here?
I like your explanation, Mark, that you have when you mention this in the article. They don't believe this stuff. They just want you to. Yeah, absolutely. This being a little dictator, I think that's what it is. It just got in their system and they love it. Wow, all I thought I was a governor, but look what I can do now. This is unbelievable. And you know, someone, the CDC came out, you know, like, what was it? Only 3% are actually dying from COVID. And then, you know, I guess they got in trouble. And I just found out recently that the Center for Disease Control, I didn't know it was a private institution. And then I'm looking at some of the people that are sending in the money, and I'm going, my goodness, I'm not going to trust them too much. But originally they told you the truth, apparently, only 3 to 6%. And there's a bigger chance that you're going to die, like you said a while ago, a heart attack, hit by lightning, or a car wreck. I think car wreck was number one. Then in your article, you talk about the World Health Organization and the article that you wrote about, you know, the traveling disease being on somebody else here. What was it, June 8th?
Right, yeah. Yeah, no, I mentioned that the World Health Organization itself said that asymptomatic transmission may be rare. But, you know, let's understand something, getting back to the politicians and what their motivation is, why they're keeping this COVID con going. I'm surprised that more people don't mention this, Chuck, but you have to remember something, that these lockdowns have been the greatest blunders, perhaps, or some of the greatest blunders in American history. That's not an exaggeration. Okay, again, we've ravaged the economy for nothing, destroyed people's lives for nothing. Now, if politicians try to reverse course and admit that they were guilty of visiting this blunder upon us, what's going to happen to their careers? You know what's going to happen. Their careers will be over. That's it. So they have no choice. They have to stay in this hole and keep on digging. And I'm not saying all of them are straight out lying, but it sure provides a great incentive to rationalize away the truth, doesn't it? And human beings have a great capacity for rationalization. Then you add to that the second motivation, which is that politicians are using this to advance an agenda. And you talked about letting the truth out, letting the mask slip before. I mean, the fact is, we had Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada, speaking in front of the UN, via video in September.
You had that video on that,
video
yes.
Nowadays. Yeah, yeah. And he actually said that this pandemic gives us a great opportunity to advance a reset. He actually used that term, reset, and I think this is close to verbatim, reimagine economic systems. And he said these are things we were working on before the pandemic. But now we have an even better chance to advance them. So he said it himself. So it's obvious why the politicians want to keep this nonsense going.
Hey, let me ask you real quick, Selwyn, be about a minute before the break. Trudeau, the video, is it in this article? Because I'm trying to think. Was it in this one?
It is. It is.
So
it,
go there, listener.
It's not. There's a link to it. It's not actually embedded, but you can follow the link. It's right there.
And, you know, here's the thing. And I had Leo Homan on, all right? One of my favorite guests. Still underneath Selwyn, but you know what I mean. But anyway, he was talking about the Great Reset. And the whole thing is, The new Green Deal, global warming, all of this stuff is now being incorporated because COVID-19, we got to do this. And so now they're getting all this stuff they wanted to put in before, you know, and it's the 2030 agenda. Technology is gone. Technocracy, that's a different story. All right, we're going to continue and wrap it up with Selwyn Duke. It's amazing. I got like 10 articles I print up. And we only get one and a half, or, well, maybe two. That's the way it is, I'm telling you. Go to that website. It's one of the greatest in the world. It's called SelwynDuke.com. SelwynDuke.com. We're going to be back in just a moment.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. That's 800-633-1378.
Does your current bathroom need to be updated immediately? Introducing One Day Bath and Shower Remodeling, the complete and hassle-free way to get the new bathroom of your dreams in as little as one day. And for as little as $199 a month. Yes, the experts at One Day Bath and Shower Remodeling will come to you anywhere in the country and show you all the customized options. Now you can have a brand new bathroom in as little as one day. Large or small bathrooms, if you want a new bathtub or shower installed, we can do it in as little as one day. And if you call right now, you can save $750 off your remodel. We make it easy by offering you financing as low as $199 per month. Call now to schedule your free in-home consultation.
855-525-7454. 855-525-7454. That's 855-525-7454.
When you really want Italian food, you've got to get to Columbo's. Columbo's Italian Steakhouse and Jazz Club, Colorado Boulevard, Eagle Rock. It's that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. These are trying times.
Mom, please. Not the same old, same old.
Remedy?
Columbo's. Yes. The world's most delicious meatballs and spaghetti. The lasagna. Daddy loves the great steaks and fish. Now that's Columbo's. Yum yums.
And all to be enjoyed in the comfort of your own home. 323-254-9138. Columbo's Euphoria. Plus, a short drive to Columbo's will do you good. And don't forget Columbo's remote holiday office parties.
And Mom, let's leave a meatball for Santa. Yay!
Christmas and Columbo's. 323-254-9138.
Columbo's. Mangia bene.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN, Chuck Wilder with Selwyn Duke, selwynduke.com. You know, was there something you wanted to wrap that last segment up with? If not, I'll move on here. Don't want to...
No, we can move on. We can move on, Chuck.
Because I'm kind of curious about this, and of course we have very little time after this break, but this free speech victory, a woman was arrested after calling trans by male pronouns, is freed. And I'll let you go with that, but the thing that really got to me was Kate Scott Cottow, is that her name? Scotto.
Yeah, I don't know how they pronounce it. I would say Scotto, but I could be wrong.
She ought to change her last name. We'd send her a...
That's
well,
right.
We don't want to send her a message.
Everyone knows how to pronounce that.
Hey, we don't want to send her a message because that's what I'm getting to. She was convicted under a section of the Communications Act, which makes persistently making use of a public electronic communications network to cause annoyance, inconvenience, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Does this mean I have to unplug my studio? Selwyn, that's what I was thinking when I first read this.
it's just unbelievable. And this really illustrates how the left just makes it up as they go along. You know, they worship the gods of the moving goalposts. I mean, the judge who actually convicted her said she was failing to, quote, be kind to each other and not call each other names. And I said in my article, well, I thought we left that behind in the third grade. I mean, is this the kind of thing that we can really micromanage? I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous. This isn't even like the old heresy laws of old.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people might want to equate what's going on with these hate speech laws to them. But the reality is that the people who were enforcing heresy laws, they said, okay, well, we believe that there's truth, which is absolute and universal by definition and eternal, and what you did is a violation of truth and was something unchanging. These people don't even claim to believe in truth. They're moral relativists, if not nihilists, but then they turn around and they want to say, well, you know, you can't say this or that or the other thing because it's hateful, and it's changing all the time. Their standards are always changing. Something that you said last week or last month might be verboten today. I mean, an example I used is that you had Amy Coney Barrett, the Supreme Court justice, during her confirmation hearings, she used the term sexual preference, right, just as a matter of course. Mm-hmm. And Mazie Hirono, the senator from Hawaii, by the way, possibly the dumbest person in the Senate, took her to task for that. She was saying, oh, well, you know, that term is insensitive. It implies that this is a choice, blah, 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 sexual preference. Well, guess what? There were left-wingers who had used that very term during the previous several weeks.
Yeah.
So it's just unbelievable. They make it up
sexual preference in our hiring. Yes, no matter what your sex is, sexual preference. They sort of get their way about it, you know, for some reason. I mean, they'll change it around for a while, and I thought we were on a good run there with that with the orange man, but boy, they figured out something on that, didn't they?
They sure did. They were going to steal this election by hook or by crook, no matter how many votes they had to steal, even if it was 20 million. I truly believe that.
I tell you what, Selwyn, I hope as I close out here that we have a Pearl Harbor moment and somebody is smart enough to quote, and it'll work, that maybe these Democrats have awoken a sleeping giant.
Amen to that.
All right. Hey, thank you very much, sir. You have a very, very good holiday. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And who knows?
Thank you, Chuck.
This show might be on New Year's. Yes, might be as we speak. It might be New Year's, right? Okay. Thank you. Selwyn Duke, selwynduke.com. Thank you, Jeremy Dayton. And above all, God bless the United States of America.